it. The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through, we gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through, we gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher, and welcome back to another year of Oakland Raiders coverage right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. This is year number 4 to make it official. Yes, I remember starting back at Sonoma State, KSunRadio.com, my first radio show. I moved up, became an intern at 95.7 The Game, working with Greg Papa, a Raider legend. We're going to talk about him on this show. Then worked my way up, started my own podcast, The Bay's Golden Days, and now I'm working at KNBR 680, the sports leader, and trying to bring you all the Raiders coverage to this 49ers station. But you know, week in and week out, I'm going to go ahead and give you a Raiders recap podcast, give you a Raiders preview podcast. I've been covering the Raiders for the past 2 years right here on this podcast. You can go back, check out 2016 season, check out 2017 season. I got the mega cast up. They're 5 hours long each. I've got 10 plus hours of coverage from the last 2 years of the Raiders. So everything you need to know is right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. And we're back again to bring you a 2018 preview. And man, oh man, where do we start? The biggest blockbuster trade of the season has happened this past weekend. And it breaks my heart. Khalil Mack is gone. Say it ain't so. The Bears took away my boy. Oh, man, I don't even want to get into it. But, of course, we got to cover the Khalil Mack trade. We'll talk about John Gruden, how his first stint as a GM has been so far, how his second stint as the Raiders head coach is going to go. Who's to blame for this whole Khalil Mack fiasco? Is it Reggie McKenzie? Is it Mark Davis? We're going to get into all the details of that, as well as look into John Gruden's first year back as the Raiders head coach. What can he do for Derek Carr and this offense? It was abysmal last year under Todd Downing. You knew I hated on him every single week last year. Todd Downing's finally gone. Jack Del Rio's gone. Ken Norton's gone. John Gruden's coming in, bringing in his new coaching staff. We'll see if he can improve these low ranks that was the 2017 Oakland Raiders offense and defense. So we will go ahead and check out the full 53-man roster, give you our newest additions, who left, new Raiders, old Raiders. We got all the Raiders right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. So let's go ahead and end the intro right here and start off with the saddest news of them all. Khalil Mack has been traded to the Bears.
With the 5th pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select Khalil Mack, linebacker, Buffalo.
How excited are you?
I'm blessed, man. I'm very excited, man, to be an Oakland Raider, man. This is a dream come true.
I'm ready to come in and work, but as well, man, I'm a raw talent still. I have to get better, and I'm looking forward to the challenge. It's going to be a blessing, man, and I can't wait.
Yes, it's true. I cannot believe it. Khalil Mack is gone. He is traded to the Chicago Bears. Oh my God. What the fuck are we doing, Raider Nation? Please, somebody explain to me why we are trading a future Hall of Famer in his prime. A two-time All-Pro defensive end. The only man ever to be All-Pro at linebacker and defensive end in the same season. And he's gone. Future Hall of Famer, franchise player, done. Cut your ties with him. Like I said, I started off officially covering the Raiders after that 2014 draft class with Khalil Mack, Derek Carr, Gabe Jackson, one of my favorite draft classes of all time. And now the man that started off the whole Return to Greatness era, the man who put the silver and black back on the map, the defensive MVP, Khalil Mack, is gone. Traded to the Bears along with a second and fifth round pick for 2 first-rounders, a third rounder, and a sixth rounder. Yes, you heard me correctly. We gave them a second round pick to take Khalil Mack. How does that make any sense in the world? I mean, I understand we got two first-round draft picks. I guess this is technically the biggest haul that a defensive player has ever gotten in a return from a trade. Well, what the hell are two first-round draft picks going to give us? We haven't drafted anybody in the first round except for Khalil Mack in the past 10 years. I mean, what has our draft history been like the past 10 years? It's not great. What are we going to do with these two first-round draft picks? Hell, I didn't care if the Bears give us three, four first-round draft picks. You have a guaranteed Hall of Famer on your roster. How do you not keep him? Shit, we didn't even get Roquan Smith. Hell, at least get their first-rounder from this year. Give us some talent. I don't understand this move from a player's perspective, from a win-now perspective. Hell, John Gruden, you have at least one more year, maybe two more years left in Oakland. I thought you were coming back to Oakland to win now. Hell, you bring in all these old free agents. You got one of the oldest rosters in the league. Are we winning now or are we rebuilding for Las Vegas? Because the way it looks like right now, it looks like you're rebuilding. How are you going to be in a win-now mode? You just paid Derek Carr, your quarterback, all that money, and then you're going to get rid of the best player on your team, the best pass rusher in the league? It makes absolutely zero sense to me. This move just makes it seem like John Gruden has given up on the Oakland era, and he's already looking ahead to Vegas. He's already looking ahead to the future two first-round picks he'll have for the next 2 years. He's already looking at the shiny new stadium he's got in Vegas, and it looks like he's just rebuilding to me because in a win-now scenario, this makes no sense at all. But Khalil Mack, I guess for your scenario, you got paid. Good for you. I got to make it as clear as possible. I hold nothing against Khalil Mack at all. He deserved to get paid. If we weren't going to be the ones to pay him, somebody was going to pay him. And obviously, the Bears were going to pay him. They gave him a six-year, $141 million contract. $90 million guaranteed dollars. Oh, I ain't mad at that, Khalil Mack. Get your money. He makes $23.5 million per year, making him the highest defensive player ever. Even so much farther than Aaron Donald, who just got signed this past weekend. And that was my big thing for this whole Khalil Mack situation. I knew there was going to be no news on Khalil Mack until Aaron Donald signed, until Aaron Donald got traded. Whatever the hell was going to happen with Aaron Donald was most definitely going to affect Khalil Mack. I've been saying this for over a year now. I've been waiting for Aaron Donald to get paid so that the Raiders would know what they would have to pay Khalil Mack. And guess what? Mack held out until after Aaron Donald, and Mack got paid more than Aaron Donald. He got what he wanted, but fuck you, Joel Siegel. Khalil Mack's agent, yeah, congratulations. You got your money. But Khalil Mack, looking at him in his Bears jersey the first day, the guy didn't look too happy. I know money's big in everybody's world, but Khalil Mack seems like a high character guy. I thought he would stick around forever, but apparently not. He was putting on his Bears uniform, and he was looking like a kid who was in a group project with all of his friends with the Raiders, and the teacher said, no, you can't work with your friends. You guys got too many distractions, and gets kicked out, has to go work with the nerds across the room. He's with the Bears now. I can't say too much. I don't know how the Bears are going to be. Who knows what these first-round draft picks are going to even correlate to. If they go 8-8, 9-5 this year, turn around decently, that's a mid first-round draft pick. So you gave up Khalil Mack for a couple mid-first-round draft picks. I don't understand, but like I said, this all relates back to Aaron Donald. He got paid. 2 days later, Khalil Mack gets paid. And it was just simple enough that Aaron Donald got paid so much, he set the floor that the Raiders knew once Aaron Donald got paid, they were going to have no chance to pay Khalil Mack. Because that's the only logical thing in this whole entire Khalil Mack situation, is thinking about the economical standpoint of Khalil Mack's contract. Because like I said, he got paid 6 years, $141 mil, $90 million guaranteed. That means if Khalil Mack was still on the Raiders and we somehow gave him this contract, him and Derek Carr would have been two $100 million players on the same team. We'd had two guys making over $20 million alone. That's more than 30% of your salary cap locked into two players. And then there's still Amari Cooper next year. How much money are you going to give him? We saw what Odell Beckham got. We've seen Antonio Brown's contract. We've seen what Julio Jones just got. Amari Cooper, if he bounces back the way I suspect that he's going to bounce back, I think he's going to get paid. And I think John Gruden, honestly, he's an offensive-minded coach. He's going to want to keep his offensive stars over his defensive stars. He thinks Khalil Mack is replaceable. I don't know how you could possibly think he's replaceable, but he thinks that you could use that money wisely over your defense to help spread it out. While on the offense side of the ball, you got to re-sign your stars. You got to get Cooper. You got to keep Carr financially stable. We got that offensive line we're paying for. But man, oh man, it's just, it's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow. I mean, the Raiders, you would think moving to Vegas would have all this money flowing in. Where's the cash flow at, Mark Davis? You just paid John Gruden $100 million over 10 years. You're telling me you couldn't pick up some mob money out in Vegas and pay Khalil Mack? I'm speechless, man. I can't fucking believe it. My favorite player since Charles Woodson. The only thing I could hope for is he has some type of Charles Woodson reunion where he comes back to the Raiders. But as far as it went for the Raiders, they saw that Aaron Donald contract. It set the floor, and it just did not make sense from an economical standpoint. And here's John Gruden breaking it down how economically it just wasn't going to work out.
Well, it's tough. You know, it wasn't my goal to trade Khalil when we got here. One of the reasons I'm here is because of him. Unfortunately, we had a standoff with the contract, and we could not come to terms. And the Bears made us an offer, two first-round draft choices, and here we are today. We have to put together a 53-man roster. It's hard. Salary cap issues do exist. And there is an economic part of this thing, too, that you have to sit down and study, and you have to get a lot of information from a lot of people to see how it impacts you, a contract of that magnitude. You know, I don't know how many teams done it. You know, Aaron Donald got signed. They're not, they don't have a quarterback that has been redone yet. I think the Bears made this trade. Trubisky's still on his rookie deal. It's tough when you have two players that are the highest paid, arguably, or close to the highest paid at their positions. So the economic part of it certainly weighs in. We've got free agents on our team that are going to be to be next year. We've got to find a way to bring them back. So you got to field a 53-man roster, and there are some implications of having two players making that much money. That's no mystery to anybody.
Exactly what I was saying. The only way you can try to justify this is from an economical standpoint where you knew you weren't going to pay Khalil Mack regardless. Once you paid Derek Carr, you didn't have this rookie quarterback contract anymore. Not like the Rams with Aaron Donald and Jared Goff. Not like the Bears with Trubisky and now Khalil Mack, where they can afford to pay their best defensive player quarterback money. But when you're paying a quarterback money, it makes it a little bit more difficult. And then like Gruden said, there's still other players that the Raiders will eventually have to pay. Amari Cooper, you're going to have to pay him. Maybe Gerrion Conley, the former first-round pick, if he finally turns around, he's going to have to get paid. We've got a bunch of rookies this year on the front. Maurice Hurst, Arden Key. Yeah, I know I'm looking down the road 3, 4, 5 years, wherever the contracts are up. But they're going to have to get paid. And this was, to me, like I said, it's full pump mode. I don't think John wants to win while he's in Oakland. I think he wants to set it up so where right when they get to Vegas, they hit the ground running and it hits the ground with a boom. But I just don't get it. I mean, what, we're 2 years away from a 12-4 season? We just went to the playoffs. Derek Carr was an MVP candidate. And now all of a sudden, we go 6-10 and we're just going to blow it up and rebuild? Is that the way we're going through here? Because that's what you're doing. You're giving up your best player for two first-round picks. I mean, I guess you didn't put yourself in a situation like the Steelers and Le'Veon Bell where they just keep on franchise tagging them, and then eventually you're just going to piss them off so much he's just going to walk away for nothing. Because John Gruden even said he's seen this before with his brother dealing with Kirk Cousins down in Washington. Franchise tag. We still had Khalil Mack under contract for one more year, and then we could have franchise tagged him. But at the end of the day, John Gruden said there was a decision that had to be made.
We waited and waited, and a Rams game was looming. Our feeling was, you know, he was not going to report anytime soon. And like I said, I saw the Redskins go through with Kirk Cousins. It's a long process. You can wait it out. You can franchise him. You can force him to play. But we made a decision, and we're going to stand by it.
That's the decision, and we got to stand by it. Unfortunately, Raider Nation, we got to stand by it. The move's been made. There's no failed drug test. There's no failed physical. Hell, I'm telling you, I was praying to every god in the religious text that somehow this trade would not go through. But it's official. Khalil Mack is gone. No longer a Raider. A standoff the Raiders could not win. Because that's all it came down to. It was just a stalemate. It was just waiting to see if Khalil was ever going to show up. The Raiders thought, hey, at this point, we're a week away from the game one. He still hasn't showed up yet. What are we going to do? Try to make the best of a shitty situation, I guess. Get the most value you can. So like I said, you don't end up like Le'Veon Bell. But at the end of the day, the Raiders just knew this was not an offer that they could match. The Bears had more money available. They had, like I said, less ties to a rookie quarterback. They had that cap space flexibility. John Gruden said himself, we're in a standoff, and at the end of the day, we could not match the Bears' offer.
The negotiation was what it was. It was tough. It was a long process. We talked about it daily. We made an offer. I don't believe we were anywhere close to where the Bears were. And the Bears made us an offer that we thought was really unique. And very, very tough to say goodbye to a great player. But here we are today.
Yep. Here we are today. Saying goodbye to a future Hall of Famer in the prime of their career. Saying goodbye to the 2016 Player of the Year. Saying goodbye to the two-time All-Pro defensive end. Saying goodbye to the only player in NFL history to be All-Pro defensive end and linebacker in the same year. Saying goodbye to 36 and a half sacks since 2015, the second most in the NFL. Saying goodbye to 41 and a half career sacks. Saying goodbye to Khalil Mack's five-sack game against the Broncos. Saying goodbye to Khalil Mack's one-handed pick six against Cam Newton to beat the Panthers. Saying goodbye to the offsides call that almost cost them the game when Khalil Mack and Ciro Moore were celebrating 15 yards offsides after sacking Alex Smith on Thursday Night Football after starting the year off 0-10. I was sitting in the black hole for Khalil Mack and Derek Carr's first victory as Raiders. This is not how it was supposed to go, man. This was supposed to be my Raiders, my generations, not my dad's generations. These were players finally since middle school, since I was a wee kid, since the Charles Woodson drafted days, since Rich Gannon, since Charlie Gardner. I finally have some players I could root for. After being the joke of the league for 10 years, the Raiders finally get back to relevance, finally get back to the playoffs, finally get back to having a defensive MVP and possible offensive MVP, and just gone? Just like that. Khalil Mack, you're the best of times, you're the worst of times. I can't believe it's over. Don't cry because he's gone. Cry because it happened, Raider Nation. Like I said, Khalil Mack, I can't be mad at you one bit at all. Get your money, you deserved it. I would have paid you. I don't care about the cap space, all that bullshit. Mark Davis, you're going to Vegas. You got to pay the man. So at the end of the day, all I can say is thank you, Khalil Mack. Thank you for reviving this fan base. Thank you for doing what you did for the city of Oakland before the Raiders leave the city of Oakland. And here's what Khalil Mack had to say. He said, Raider Nation, the love you've shown me and my family for the past 4 years have been amazing. We've loved every minute of it. Unfortunately, it has come to an end. But I will cherish my time in Oakland forever and will forever have love for the nation. Simple as that. Like I said, Khalil Mack, I wish nothing but the best for you. I wish more defensive MVPs. I hope you're the next monster of Midway. Take the cap from Brian Urlacher and run with it. At the end of the day, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, and it will say, drafted by the Oakland Raiders. And I'm just praying, please, 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 God, let us get a reunion. Let us get that Charles Woodson, go to the Packers, get your ring, come back to the Raiders. Give us that Julius Peppers reunion back to the Panthers. We've seen it with defensive ends. We've seen it with defensive players. Khalil Mack, baby, come back. I'll be waiting. And until then, I got a lot of fingers to fucking point. Whose fault is this, huh? Who do I blame here, huh? I've already brought up John Gruden. John Gruden, your first stint as a GM for the Raiders has been awful. What are we doing here? We're getting rid of Khalil Mack. We're trading third-round picks for Martavis Bryant, then cutting him. Like, what the hell is going on here? And you notice I said GM, John Gruden. I guess we can wait to see if the coaching is even what it used to be, a shell of what it used to be, this West Coast offense. But as a GM, what the fuck are you doing, John? Reggie McKenzie, how are you letting him do this? I thought you were the general manager. Reggie McKenzie is acting like a puppy, got caught at the pound. They just neutered the kid, took away his balls. He's not allowed to do anything anymore. John Gruden is cutting his second-round picks like chopped liver. In the past, what, 4 or 5 years since he's been here, there's only one second-round pick that's still on the team. Derek Carr. Reggie McKenzie. What the fuck is going on? I mean, we all heard the rumors leading up to the draft. Reggie McKenzie and John Gruden had two different player boards of who they wanted to draft. How do you coexist if you can't even think of the same players to draft? Who's drafting who? Who's getting what pick? Are we alternating rounds? You get the even rounds, I get the odd rounds. How does that make sense? Reggie McKenzie, I mean, I was applauding this guy. He took the Raiders from a dumpster fire and got his back to a playoff roster. I mean, that first draft with Khalil Mack, Derek Carr, and Gabe Jackson will go down as one of the best drafts in Raider class history. But after that, Reggie, what have you done for us? Like I mentioned, second-round picks. Mario Edwards Jr., cut, gone. All these people were drafted, cut, gone. I mean, who do I blame for this? Who's the GM? Who's in charge? Mark Davis, what the fuck is going on? Because Reggie McKenzie, his whole philosophy, he comes from the Green Bay Packers organization, where they sign their homegrown players. They never, never, ever go out for free agency. Hell, they went out and finally got Jimmy Graham. That was like a meteor hitting the earth or something. It was a rare occasion. The Packers are known for re-signing their homegrown talent. Look how much they just paid Devontae Adams. So this doesn't line up with Reggie McKenzie's philosophy at all. So whose fault is it? Gruden? Mark Davis? Reggie? I'm going straight for Mark Davis. Because Gruden, yeah, we all know the story. He wants to be the superstar, wants to be the center of attention. He's getting paid $100 million. He's the face of the franchise. Not Mac, not Derek Carr. John Gruden is. But you know who enabled John Gruden to become GM, to become president of the Raiders, to do all this? Is Mark fucking Davis. And this is what I want to get into now because I've already tweeted it out. I called it the Mark Davis How to Lose Your Father's Fan Base three-step process. First, you take your team, beloved team, city of Oakland, rooted in Oakland, and move them to Las Vegas. Strike one. Strike two, you take local play-by-play legend, Greg Papa, and you kick him to the curb. Oh, we're down 0-2 now here, Mark. Oh, what do you know? Slider, break him off, trade Khalil Mack. Step three, trade your franchise player. And there goes your fan base, Mark. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you're going to solve any of these problems. I don't know if you just want to build a fan base in Vegas, but I'm sure the Vegas fans aren't happy about this. How are you going to sell fans in Vegas saying we're not even going to re-sign our best players? I mean, it doesn't matter if just what the Oakland fans think about this move. I've said it a million times. The Raider Nation is worldwide. World fucking wide. And we just lost one of the biggest superstars in the past generation. Once in a generation talent. But man, oh man, Mark Davis. I was shocked when you got rid of Greg Papa. I'm even more shocked that you got rid of Khalil Mack. I honestly think he's just trying to create his own legacy somehow, some way. He's moving his team to Vegas. He was butting heads with Greg Papa. Papa was calling him out because, honestly, why are you bringing in Mike Shanahan for an interview? I mean, no disrespect to the Shanahans, the great coaches, but not with the Oakland Raiders. We all know the history of Al Davis versus the Shanahans. You can't disrespect your father and bring in one of the guys that he hated the most to come coach his team. Al must have been rolling over in his grave. But nope, like I said, Mark Davis, that's one of the big reasons why he bring John Gruden back, because his dad didn't. He's trying to get his own legacy. He's trying to build up this big bravado because, honestly, everybody thinks he's a joke. I mean, how many other owners are out there that graduated from Chico State? Yeah, I'm going to go with zero on that one. Mark Davis, I just don't get it. With Greg Papa, it seemed like he felt like he was in a shadow. Al Davis would talk to Greg Papa about football more than he would talk to his own son. The first thing that Mark Davis did when he took over the organization was clean house, get rid of all the coaches, get rid of all the people in the background, because he knew it had a stigma. He had the stigma of Mark Davis doesn't know shit, and that's what it's starting to show. Mark Davis, three steps, moved the team to Vegas, fire Greg Papa, trade Khalil Mack. I don't know what the hell you're doing. You're ruining the Raiders. And here's Greg Papa's thoughts on him being fired. He said, it's simple. This was a blatant revenge move by ownership.
With John Gruden coming back to coach the team, I thought my relationship with the team would actually grow. And it was talked about early in the offseason, but it went the other way. So I'm going to be fine. It's sad for me, and I've known this since July 2nd, July 5th, and now it's the 23rd. So eventually it did leak out. So the bottom line is this was an act of vengeance of the owner of the team to remove me as the voice of the team. He owns the team, and that's the choice he made. They will move on, and I will move on.
And the Raider Nation will move on, Greg Papa. thank you. Thank you for all your years, because just how I was saying Khalil Mack was my generation of Raider players, Greg Papa was my generation of the voice of the Raiders. I mean, you guys hear it on my podcast. I'm always putting in the Raider calls.
Touchdown, Raiders!
And now no more. We got Brent Musburger, which that's fine. I mean, Musburger is a good play-by-play guy. He's out in Vegas. He knows the lines, got the little betting inside, but he's 70, 80 years old. I don't know how exciting that is on radio, but I guess we'll get a chance. Lincoln Kennedy will be joining him in booth. Shout out to Lincoln Kennedy. Lincoln Kennedy was one of my favorite players growing up. I wore number 72 because of Lincoln Kennedy. I've got to work here a couple times here at KMBR. He's a great guy, so I look forward to Lincoln getting a job, but I got to pay my respects to Greg Papa, a local legend, the first radio show I ever worked with when I interned at 95.7 The Game. A true, true legend of broadcasting, Greg Papa. There's rumors he might go over to the Niners now. I'm sure he'll stay in the Bay Area, but I got to say thank you, Greg Papa. Thank you, Khalil Mack. Thank you for all the Raiders who have just turned the team around the past couple of years. Thank you, Jack Del Rio. I mean, hell, I'm talking about, I mean, I feel like I'm at a funeral, like the death of the Raiders. Like, we had such hope. We got back to 12-4, got back to the playoffs, and now it's gone. Mack gone, Papa gone. Hell, who else is gone? Michael Crabtree gone. Cordell Patterson gone. Martavis Bryant, you were around for what, a third round pick in a week? Yeah, you're gone now. Clive Walford, another draft pick, gone. Marshall Newhouse, gone. Corey James, gone. Alden Smith, gone. TJ Carey, gone. Sean Smith, arrested, gone. Obi Melifonwu, a second round pick, cut. Oh, what a surprise. I already touched on Mario Edwards Jr., second round pick, cut. Sebastian Janikowski, they got rid of my boy Seabass, gone. Marquette King, the world's famous punter, gone. I mean, it's kind of depressing. The only thing I'm happy is gone is Ken Norton and Todd Downing, the offensive defense coordinator for the Raiders, because like I said, I talked about it last year on the podcast. Jack Del Rio, I thought he was a great coach. I thought he was great for the chemistry. I thought he was a real good fit with the Raiders. I just didn't think his offense and defense coordinator was good fits at all. Todd Downing, you guys know what I think of Todd Downing. Todd Downing was one of the worst offensive coordinators in the league. Ken Norton was just over his head. Great linebacker coach, great player back in the day, but he was just more of a rah-rah guy. His schemes were pretty simple. He was getting beat left and right. Now with John Gruden coming in, like I said, it's the second era of the John Gruden era. Round two, here we come. The 10-year, $100 million man. Bringing in his own coaches, bringing back Greg Olsen to be his offensive coordinator, but we all know John Gruden already said he's going to be the one calling the plays. Greg Olsen might be a familiar name to a lot of Raider fans. He was actually the Raiders quarterback coach Derek Carr's rookie year, so that's a little nice connection they got there. He was also the quarterback coach for the Jaguars and the Rams, working with a couple young quarterbacks there. So Greg Olsen, welcome back to the nation. Tom Cable, also welcome back to the nation. Tom Cable, man, his reputation has been up, it's been down. He's punched coaches, he's been in fights. I like the guy. He seems like a Raider, even though I didn't like his head coaching stint too much. As a person, I like Tom Cable, so I'm glad to see him back. On defense, I'm excited to see what Paul Gunther is able to do, ex-defensive coordinator for the Bengals. He was working with the Vikings the past couple years. This guy's got a great defensive mind for football, and I think with all the young pieces on defense, I'm excited to see how he's able to replace the production from Khalil Mack, because obviously you're not going to replace Khalil Mack, but maybe scheme-wise with some more blitz, whatever he can do to mix it up and just honestly change some things up, because the defense was trash last year. I'll be the first to say they were last in interception with a total of 5. Yeah, it was like half the season, probably more than that. The Raiders didn't have an interception. They were 26th overall in the league on third down. They were 27th overall in rushing defense. And they fell from 30 takeaways 2 years ago to only 16. I mean, they're falling apart left and right. But that's why I want to talk about the defensive side of this draft, because we're talking all this sad news, who's gone. Let's talk about who's here now, huh? We got a couple new additions on the defense side of the ball. Tate Cardine, Frosty Rucker. Are they going to replace Mac? No. But those are nice couple bodies. Derek Johnson in the middle, OG veteran. I heard he's been showing Markell Lee a nice couple things. Tahir Whitehead, nice little outside linebacker. I think he'll do all right. Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. He'll be like number 3, number 4 corner. He's still got a little thing in him. Rashad Melvin, I actually like that pickup a lot from the Colts. He did great against Antonio Brown the last 2 games he played him. So I think if him and Garyon Callen can bounce back, hey, might have a couple decent corners, might have a couple decent players on defense, because I like what the Raiders did with this draft. Like I said, you could throw Garyon Callen in this draft because he barely played at all last year.
But the Raiders went defensive heavy on this draft. And not even to start with, because obviously the first round they took Colton Miller, offensive tackle out of UCLA. He's been working at left tackle, right tackle, more likely left tackle now. Donald Penn coming back and moving to right tackle. They also took Brandon Parker, offensive lineman out of North Carolina, AT&T. Then second round, they go PJ Hall. You know, who? I never heard of this guy. Sam Houston State? Exactly. No one heard of him. Sleeper, sleeper, sleeper. Didn't even get invited to the combine. Played in the senior game and just balled out. This guy has a motor like no other. I saw him in preseason and he was just pushing linemen back left and right like he was moving them on the sleds. I'm excited for PJ Hall. And then we go to round three, the second pick of round three, Arden Key, defensive end LSU. Now, this was a guy that a lot of people had going late first round, maybe early second, but character issues off the field. Hell, fuck it. We'll take it. We just lost Khalil Mack. We're going to have to get some production. Arden Key, I look for him to step up big as a rookie. And then another rookie on the defensive line, PJ Hall, Arden Key. Add Maurice Hurst to that group. And Maurice Hurst was honestly my favorite pick from this draft class this year. We got Maurice Hurst, defensive tackle out of Michigan, in the fifth round. Now, he had some heart issues, quote unquote, but he was cleared by every doctor. He was cleared to play. He had these issues before his last year of college, so he obviously played a full year with these issues. And without these issues, he was considered a first-round talent. Yes, I'm talking top 20, top 15. And he drops all the way to round number five. I mean, I remember going back on draft day and be like, we're seriously take Colton Miller over someone like Micah Fitzpatrick right now or Derwin James. Then third round, we take another offensive tackle. If you would have flipped his draft upside down from the fifth and gone backwards, I would have been happy. Even Nick Nelson, cornerback out of Wisconsin, led the FBS in swatted passes. Got him in the fourth round. They said he was a second round talent. Man, oh man, I'm excited for these young defensive studs. I thought they were going to be helping out Khalil Mack get to the quarterback, but now it's time for them to step up and try to make the same leap and try to become the next Khalil Mack, which I know pretty much sounds impossible, but someone's got to do it. And there's a lot of young talent on this team. Here's Matt Millen on what he thought of the Raiders' youth through training camp.
The other piece of the game that was interesting to me was the young players. I really like PJ Hall. I like Maurice Hurst. I loved Arden Key in the week. Boy, earlier in the week when I had a chance to watch him, and I watched him on film. You know, and then I think offensively that, you know, the offensive line is getting back into what we thought they would be. You know, you have skill outside of the receivers. I was feeling pretty good about where they were.
I'd have to agree. Throughout watching this preseason, I have felt really good about these young defensive linemen, about these young defense in general. I know we are really young, but Rashad Melvin is on that one-year contract. He's going to try to ball out. Garyon Conley, I've mentioned him a few times. That's another first-round pick from last year's class. If you could throw on top of him, we just lost Obi Melfon, and he got cut. Carl Joseph, I think he's got to step up and become a huge impact player. There's rumors that the coaches think he's too small, but the guy's a thumper. Put him in the box. Hell, convert him to a linebacker like Deion Buchanan if you have to. But he's one of the best tacklers on our defense, especially now without Mack. Got to get Carl Joseph on the field. Reggie Nelson is still hanging around, but you guys know what I thought from Reggie Nelson last year. I think he's past his prime, but at least he knows Paul Gunther's defense good and his vet that'd be able to teach it. They also added Marcus Gilchrist and Eric Harris. They might get some playing time on the back end as well. Linebackers, I talked about Tyre Whitehead. I think his speed will help out the Raiders a little bit in coverage, especially Derek Johnson. He's going to be great against the run. I don't know how too well he'll be against the pass, kind of similar to Navarro Bowman last year. Hell, maybe we'll bring back Navarro now because we've got this extra money. What are we going to do without this extra money now without Khalil Mack? Earl Thomas, you still want to come to the Raiders? No, I don't see that happening because he'll probably get 20 mil too. Who knows what the hell the Raiders are going to do, but more talk about this defense. I think they got a couple pieces where they might surprise a little bit now, but they just lost their best defensive player. They just lost a guy who can literally win games by himself. I mean, talk about the 5-sack game. Talk about the one-handed pick game. I mean, the guy was incredible, and it's sad to talk about this defense without him. So I guess we're done with defense now. I'm just going to move on because every time I talk about defense, I go back to Khalil Mack, and it just gets me depressed. So let's go ahead and talk about this offense and this 53-man roster because, like I said, John Gruden has added a lot of veterans to this team. And some people are saying they're a little too old. They're a little over the hill. What is John Gruden? Is he going back to 1998? Is he turning back the play clock that much? Well, let's see. Who do you bring in? He brings in Doug Martin, who people thought he was washed up. But, hey, I still got some faith in Doug Martin, especially the Antioch kid coming back to the Bay. We've seen what he'd done in the Coliseum before. He had that 5-touchdown game against us. Hell, it seems like he loves running on that infield dirt. So I think he'll be a great backup behind Marshawn Lynch. We got to get Marshawn Lynch back to beast mode. It's as simple as that. In that running game, Marshawn Lynch, the last 5 games of the season, he looked great. He looked like he was running hard. And then we saw that preseason game this year where he had that 60-yard touchdown run. Yeah, it did get called back because of a hold by Colton Miller. But it was great to see that burst. And then we saw Chris Warren. He was running fantastic this preseason. Sleeper out of Texas, little undrafted rookie. He actually tore his ACL, though, so the Raiders were able to stash him on an IR practice squad, which means DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard will still be on the team. And then we also added Key Smith, fullback out of Dallas, because, you know, John Gruden wants to run the ball. He's going to pound it. He's going to bring in Lee Smith, an extra blocking tight end. He's going to bring in a fullback and get back to that smash-mouth football. And here's John Gruden on how the Raiders are going to get beast mode back.
If you look at Marshawn Lynch, and you want to go back to when he was truly a great back, they had Zach Miller at tight end in Seattle. They didn't have Jimmy Graham. They had a blocking tight end. And they had a fullback named Mike Robinson, who was a great escort. And I think for Lynch to run the outside zone, to do some of the things that really allow him to be great, we got to service him better. And I think we have, but we haven't proven that yet.
Oh, that brings music to my ears, Johnny Gruden. Smash mouth football. Let Marshawn go downhill, lower his shoulder pads, and just run through a motherfucker's face. Because I was so tired of seeing Todd Downing last year in 4th and 2 throw a pitch. Or 4th and 1, put in Jalen Richard to run it up the middle. Like, what the fuck were you smoking, Todd Downing? How does that make sense at all? You got one of the best offensive lines in the league. Give the ball to beast mode. Pete Carroll, I thought he taught everybody. 1 yard, give the ball to Marshawn. It's not fucking rocket science. And I think this year, with the Raiders' offensive line getting back into shape, because I don't know what the hell happened last year. They're one of the highest paid offensive lines in all of football. They were dominant 2 years ago when Carr was in MVP form. Last year, the shit did kind of hit the fan a little bit, but that was for the whole entire team. But Carr insurance, I think they come back with a full coverage plan this year for Derek Carr. We're talking Rodney Hudson, Donald Penn is back, restructured his contract, moving over to right tackle now. As I mentioned, Colton Miller, the rookie out of UCLA, they've been working him at left tackle. We'll see how that experiment works out. But if we get a franchise left tackle, that's more money we got to pay to him too, unless we would let him walk like Jared Valdir. But that'd be okay because we got plenty of linemen, it seems like. It seems like linemen's probably our most stacked position on this whole entire depth chart. We didn't even get to KO yet, Kelechi Osemele. And then we got Gabe Jackson, the Mauler, John Feliciano, Brandon Parker, who I talked about, who was another draft pick this year. So there is some depth on the offensive line. We had a couple injuries last year with Donald Penn and that ankle injury. Rodney Hudson has been solid. Gabe Jackson has been solid. KO has been solid. I mean, honestly, this is one of the best offensive lines that I've seen throughout my lifetime watching the Raiders. And here's John Gruden comparing Rodney Hudson to a former Oakland Raiders legend.
I was with Jim Otto the other day. Jim Otto was here for the alumni, and I was talking to him about Rodney. There's a lot of similar qualities in terms of toughness, you know, passion for football and communication and just all-out effort. The thing I love about Hudson is when we throw a pass, he runs down to cover. He runs down there to see if the receiver needs any help every play. He's the best center that I've coached.
The best center he's ever coached, and he's comparing him to Jim Otto. Oakland Raider legacy right there. Man, oh man, those are some strong words for John Gruden, for his offensive lineman, for the captain of his offensive line, Rodney Hudson. Carr insurance, like I said, they got to have the full coverage plan because we got to keep Derek Carr healthy this year. Because just like I like to remind everybody, the NFL, we're in a 24-hour news cycle. It's the flavor of the month. Nobody remembers that 2 years ago, Derek Carr was right up there with Tom Brady, right up there, the number one, number two candidate for NFL MVP. And then he breaks his leg, breaks his back, and all of a sudden, he's tossed it aside like he's not a top 10 quarterback anymore. But hey, what? No, it's fine. Carson Wentz had one good year, and now he's hurt. But he's top 10. He's elite. But what if he comes back next year and struggles? Then what? Then that's the same exact situation that we're finding with Derek Carr. Hell, you want to look at Marcus Mariota last year. Same injury as Derek Carr. Broke his leg. Marcus Mariota ended up throwing more interceptions than touchdowns last year. Derek Carr still had 62 completion percentage, still had over 3,500 yards, still the fastest guy ever to get 100 career touchdown passes, still the third quarterback ever to complete 300 passes in his first four season. I mean, Derek Carr, get him back to healthy, get him back to MVP form, get him in John Gruden's West Coast offense, his first offensive-minded head coach in his whole entire career. I mean, it's all been defense, defense, defense. Dennis Allen, Jack Del Rio, these guys aren't really helping the progression of Derek Carr at all. We saw the offense last year with Todd Downing. It was abysmal. So now with Derek Carr back in this West Coast offense, in this Bill Walsh, Mike Holmgren system, John Gruden, we see success with Sean McVay. We see success with Jay Gruden and Kirk Cousins, now Alex Smith. What's going to happen with Derek Carr and John Gruden? That's what I'm looking forward to most this whole entire season. Because obviously Mac's gone. Derek Carr, the franchise is yours. Give him the keys to the car, baby. Vroom, vroom. I'm in Derek's car. This is your team now. You're the face of the franchise. You were the second-round pick, but you got paid first. And at the end of the day, the quarterback's the most important position for the franchise, to the team, however you want to put it. Derek Carr has got to elevate his game to the next level, and here's John Gruden on how he's going to get Derek Carr to get to that next level.
If you watch the championship teams, Tom Brady's getting a lot done at the line of scrimmage. Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, the guys that win it all, they fix problems. They recognize matchups. They get to their own plays, and they have the free reign to do that. And I think that's where the game is going. Hopefully we can take Derek to that level where we give him a lot of responsibility at the line of scrimmage. And I think that's when he was at his best at Fresno.
I couldn't agree more. I think Derek Carr, to take the next step in his evaluation process in the NFL, he's got to do more at the line of scrimmage. He's got to take control of this offense. We've seen it over the past couple years. Hell, we saw it last year. The best the Raiders offense looked was when they're in two-minute warning, when Todd Downing couldn't call plays, and it was all Derek Carr on the go, on the go, on the go. John Gruden said that's when he was at his best at Fresno State. Hell, I want to see Derek Carr up on the line looking like a young Peyton Manning. Dissect the defense. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's been dissecting defenses, NFL defenses, since he was in sixth grade. Since his brother got drafted by the Texans, this guy's been around football his whole life. He's got the football mind. He's got the football IQ. He's got the arm. He's got the legs. He's got the talent. He's got the speed. He's got it all. He's just got to put it all together and have that confidence, because last year, coming off of those injuries, he looked a little gunshot. I won't lie. We saw him get happy feet in the pocket a couple times, get rid of the ball a little bit too quick instead of holding on and trying to make an extra play. But then we saw people like Carson Wentz trying to make that extra play, trying to make that extra play and get hurt again. So there's always the give and the take. Try to make the big play. Try to make the right read. Try to make the right audible. I think Derek Carr this year makes a huge improvement. Like I said, I'm going to keep on harping it. This is the first time Derek Carr has had an offensive-minded head coach, an offensive-minded offensive coordinator, however you want to put it. He's finally got an offensive mind behind him. And it's only going to get better because he's bringing in more and more people to help him out. Last year in Raiders training camp, we had Calvin Johnson. This year, Peyton Manning was at Raiders camp. You heard John Gruden say, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, they all make their own calls at the line of scrimmage. Peyton Manning was the best at it. Numero uno, the GOAT. I think Peyton Manning is the smartest quarterback of all time. And Peyton Manning shows up to Napa Valley to come train with Derek Carr. And we got some insider info right here of Derek Carr talking to Peyton Manning about how he's stealing his routines and doing everything he can to be just like Peyton.
You see, I stole your warm up.
I like that. Have a little routine.
I had the one, but
just throw this.
No. I would try and like place them.
Yeah.
But now just having a warm up, get everything activated.
Yeah.
Feet, everything. Yeah. It's nice.
You been to anybody else before? You been to the house or any of these other guys? Eli went one time and he took certain parts of it. I didn't take it all. But I think you just find a routine that works for you. You know what I mean? But it's just good to have I was just a routine guy.
Whatever routine Peyton Manning was doing it, steal it, Derek Carr. Steal it and run to the hills and don't ever look back. Take every piece of knowledge you can from that big-ass forehead, because, you know, he's got so much damn knowledge crammed into that head. Peyton Manning, the smartest quarterback of all time, in my opinion. Derek Carr, pick his brain. Pick it, and pick it some more. Get everything you can. Take his routines. Take his tape-watching habits. Take everything that he does and apply it to your game. And I can only say there's going to be great things for the future of Derek Carr, because like I said, John Gruden, he's going to take him to the next level. I said it at the end of last year when John Gruden was announced. I said Derek Carr might be the comeback player of the year. He might be the bounce back player of the year. And especially now with no Khalil Mack, the Raiders are going to have to score 30, 40 points a game because this is just going to be ridiculous. I mean, the Raiders offense is going to be high scoring this year. And I think a huge factor of that is going to have to be Amari Cooper. And I know everybody's, oh, what did Amari Cooper do last year? All the drops. He only had 600 yards. But, yeah, coming off a back-to-back 1,000 yards off his first season and his second season, Amari Cooper, I still think, is one of the most dynamic wide receivers in the league. He had the drop issues last year. It was dealing with ankle injuries, was dealing with all types of injuries. But you know who's there to come teach him this year? Jordy Nelson. Welcome back, Jordy Nelson. Old reliable, White Lightning, the king of the back shoulder fade, the OG of just doing everything right. You're talking about route running, hands team. This guy can do it all, and I think he's going to be a great mentor for Amari Cooper because we talked about it at the end of last season. Michael Crabtree was becoming a locker room cancer. He didn't play the last couple games of the season. He was too busy trying to fight Aqib Talib, trying to get his gold chain back. Crabtree, I love what you did for the Raiders, but if you're going to be butting head with coaches, getting kicked out of the game, you're doing more damage to the team than actual good. You're just being a distraction, and we see John Gruden is not going to deal with any of the distractions. Got rid of Martavis Bryant within a couple weeks. He's cutting people left and right. He's not going to deal with any of your shit. He wants high-character guys in there, and Jordy Nelson is 100% the definition of high character. And I think, honestly, I think it's going to improve Amari Cooper's hand somehow. He can show him some teaches, show him some drills, get his hand strength up, whatever you got to do, route running. I think he's just going to be great things for Amari Cooper. And then even on the opposite side of Cooper, I think he will replace those Crabtree numbers. Crabtree might have been better in the red zone, but everywhere else, on the back shoulder, moving the chains, timing routes, hands, speed, Jordy Nelson still faster than Michael Crabtree. I would say Jordy Nelson is just as good in his prime. I know I'm not going to ignore his knee injuries. I'm not going to ignore his last year's production. But here, you want to hear what John Gruden says? I mean, this isn't fantasy football. You know a player when you see a player. And John Gruden still believes what he sees in Jordy Nelson.
We're not playing fantasy football right now. I realize his production fell off, but so did Devontae Adams and so did Randall Cobbs and so did the Packer offense when Aaron Rodgers went down. I'm not making excuses for anybody, but like I said, we saw Jordy practice. We saw Jordy play. Edgar Bennett has a lot of confidence in him, and so do we.
This ain't fantasy football. This is what I try to tell people so much because as I bring it up, it's a 24-hour news cycle we're living in. People forget that Derek Carr was a top three MVP candidate. Hell, 2 years ago, people were calling Todd Gurley one of the biggest busts. Everybody who took him in fantasy football, oh my God, I'll never take Todd Gurley in the first round again. He screwed me over. The next year, Todd Gurley was dropping to the second and third rounds, and I was like, you idiots. What is this, the flavor of the month cycle? I mean, we live in that society that it's all 24-7, instantaneously. Oh, you're not doing nothing for me now? Then you're nothing. You're done. Oh, I guess we'll see. Derek Carr will have his chance to come back. Jordy Nelson will have his chance to come back. Amari Cooper will have his chance to come back. The Raider Nation will have their chance to come back. I got faith in my boy DC. You know I got faith in my boy Cooper. Jordy Nelson, the man has had 63 touchdowns since 2011. That's the fourth most in the NFL. I mean, this guy can produce. He can move the chains. I just want to see that back shoulder that Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson connected with left and right, and I'll be happy. Jordy Nelson, move the chains, replace Michael Crabtree's stats, and I'll be satisfied. And I really do think he does. And like I said, Amari Cooper, I think he's going to have a huge bounce back year. John Gruden is known for producing 1,000-yard receivers. We already saw in the preseason game, he had a 50-yard moss. He went up and got it all over the guy. But these Raiders receivers are going to be really interesting because I was excited for Martavis Bryant, Ryan Switzer, but they both got traded out. So it looks like Slot Roberts will still stay in the slot. Johnny Holton still going to be that deep threat guy. And then we got Dwayne Harris, kick returns. Keon Hatcher is actually a name to keep an eye on. He had 8 catches for, what, 140-something yards and 3 touchdowns in a final preseason game against the Seahawks and pretty much beat Martavis Bryant out for his own roster spot. So that might be a little sleeper name to keep an eye on, but I got faith in his Raiders offense still, to say the least. I mean, honestly, coming into the season, I was so excited watching preseason, watching these young guys up front. But now, I mean, I don't know what to do without Khalil Mack because, honestly, I had us maybe 10-6 record, but Khalil Mack is at least a 2-3 game swing. So where are we at now? 8-8? Are we looking at a 500 record? Las Vegas actually has us over under 8 wins. Las Vegas Super Bowl predictions, 35-1 odds. So where does that leave us, folks? Well, let's go ahead and check out the schedule. Week 1, Monday Night Football. O.co Coliseum, Oakland, California. The Oakland Raiders will be taking on the Los Angeles Rams in a game that should have had the two highest paid defensive players in all of the NFL. But no, the Rams got a rookie quarterback. They got to keep Donald. We paid Carr. We lost Mac. It's as simple as that. This game, I thought it was going to be a close one. I thought maybe, just maybe, Khalil Mack could put enough pressure on Jared Goff to where they'd have to rely on Todd Gurley, but maybe if we got out to a lead early in the game, they'd just have to try to pass and catch up, and then Mack would be on that ass. But now I don't know. Like I said, Mack changes everything. It's a 2-3 game swing. Before this season, or before the Mack trade, I had the Raiders as a 10-12 win team this year. Get back in that 10-6, 12-4 range. Now I'm sitting somewhere between 8-8, maybe a 10-6. And that's just maybe, because we still got to see what the rest of this division does. The Chargers are going to be good this year. The Broncos, I'm not a believer in Case Keenum, so we'll see what happens with them. The Chiefs, we'll see what happens with Mahomes. I mean, Andy Reid, we've seen his offense has picked us apart the last 2 years, so I can't pick us to beat them. But they don't got Alex Smith no more. Mahomes is much more Colin Kaepernick than he is Alex Smith. He's going to push the ball downfield, take his chances, throw more picks. He's not the game manager that Alex Smith is. But we'll get to those games when we get there. Back to this Monday Night Football game. The Rams are favored by 4.5 points over the Raiders on the road. So that means the Raiders, they usually give the home team 3 points. So this really should be about a 7-point spread for the Rams. I mean, I got to stay objective. I know this is an Oakland Raiders podcast right here. But without Mac, I think this offense, Sean McVay, too good of an offensive mind. Hopefully this is some type of shootout, but we see the Rams' defense this year. They signed Aaron Donald. They bring in Ndamukong Suh. They got Marcus Peters. They got Aqib Talib now. I think this defense is too good. I think their offense is as good as it was last year, if not better now with Todd Gurley and Jared Goff in another year in the system. I got to stay objective. I got to say the Raiders start the year off 0-1. But don't worry, because week 2, we get the Donkeys. And like I said, I don't got no faith at all in Case Keenum. We'll be taking on the Broncos on the road up in Mile High. I got to sweep in the Broncos this year. 2 games, put them in the book. Moving on to week 3, we got the Dolphins. I'm not a huge fan of Ryan Tannehill. They got Kenyon Drake in the backfield. They lost Jarvis Landry. Devontae Parker's been banged up. Who's their best defensive player? Kiko Alonso, Rashard Jones, a couple of decent players. But the Dolphins are going to be the Dolphins. They're going to be swimming around in the bottom of the AFC East. I don't look for the Dolphins to do too much this year. I actually look for Tannehill to actually probably become a career backup after this year. That's what I think what's going to happen to the Dolphins. I think the Raiders get the W to improve to 2-1 over the Dolphins. Moving on to week 4, we've got the Cleveland Browns. And the talk of the town is, who's going to be the quarterback in week 4? Some people say Tyrod or Tarod, whatever floats your boat. And other people are saying Baker Mayfield. He's going to take over. I say sooner rather than later. I'm giving Baker Mayfield until, I'd say, about week 5 or 6. Because I think Ty Taylor, whatever the hell you want to call him, I think Tyrod's going to get hurt around week 5 or 6. I thought he broke his wrist in a preseason game. And then he went back out there. So, I mean, Tarod has been playing great since overcoming that backup stigma he had in Baltimore behind Joe Flacco, went to the Bills, had some success, actually got them to the playoffs. It's going to be interesting this year with the Browns. They got a lot of weapons. Josh Gordon, can he stay on the field? Or is he going to be sparking up that Sheba? Jarvis Landry, Carlos Hyde in the backfield with Nick Chubb. They got a lot of talent, but I still think they're a year away. I got the Browns maybe winning 5-6 games this year, but I don't have a winning game against the Raiders. I'll go ahead and give the Raiders the W in week 4 over the Browns to improve the 3-1. And then this is where we get a little bit of a slide. The Chargers, you never know with the Chargers. They can either come out and be an all-pro team, looking like playoff runners, looking like AFC West favorites with all the talent they got, especially on the defense side of the ball with Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, they drafted Derwin James. They got Melvin Gordon on the offensive side. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams is coming back now. And Phillip Rivers, you don't win now, you're never going to win. Hell, you never won with LT and Antonio Gates in his prime. They just re-signed Antonio Gates because Henry had a torn ACL. The Chargers are going to be the team to watch in the AFC West. I have us losing the first game in LA, then coming back and winning when the Chargers come back up to Oakland. Week 6, we're going across the pond to London. The Raiders actually have the worst travel schedule of any team in the NFL this year, and that's bad news because the Raiders do not travel well. Whether it's the London, whether it's the Florida, the East Coast, the Raiders just for whatever reason do not travel. I'm not looking forward to them traveling across to London. Hell, I might try to go out to London. Shout out to Harneet, ex-co-host of the Bay's Golden Days. He's out doing some school in London. Maybe me and Dyer, another ex-co-host of the Bay's Golden Days, will go visit him out in London, go catch his game, Raiders, Seahawks. But I honestly don't know. This is a toss-up to me. The Raiders' defense, I don't think they'll be able to stop Russell Wilson. I could just imagine him just running around left and right, and him somehow winning the game. So I'm going to go ahead and give us another L right there to the Seahawks because traveling to London. Last time I went to London, it was not pretty, my friends. It was not pretty. But then we got a bye week, come back home, come to Oakland, and we have a Bay Area kid coming to return to the Bay. Andrew Luck, if he's healthy in week 8, I hope he's healthy. I've always liked the guy, Stanford kid. He comes back. I still think the Colts, even with a healthy Andrew Luck, they still don't have the talent. The Raiders, overall, I still think are a better talented team. I will give the Raiders a W in week 8. And then week 9, we get the Battle of the Bay, the rematch, the revenge. It's not even revenge for us because we won last time. We won when the Raiders were so shitty and the Niners were supposed to be, we're about to go on a dynasty. We're about to be raw. We're going to the Super Bowl. And then you lose to the Ravens and you lose to the Raiders. And then all of a sudden the team just falls apart. But Niner fans, I know they've been looking at the chops trying to get this one back. But it's all right, Niner fans. The Raiders are up all time 7-6. So you will have your chance to tie up the series one last time. That game will be in Levi Stadium. Your boy might have to walk into Levi Stadium for the first time ever. Uh-oh. KNBR 680, the sports leader, better hook it up with some free tickets. That's all I'm saying, the Niners flagship station. But, you know, I'm holding it down for the Raiders, and I'm giving the Raiders the W over Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers. I'll talk more about the 49ers on my NFL podcast. I just don't think the talent's there, especially with Jerick McKinnon. He's hurt now, so you're going to rely on Alfred Morris to try to take some heat off Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, I like Jimmy, but 5-0, hey, the verdict is still out on Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't commit $125 million to a guy who's played 5 games. Everybody, well, what did Derek Carr get paid? Because Derek Carr was the fastest quarterback ever to 100 touchdowns in his first 4 years. Let me know when Garoppolo does that. But hey, he's undefeated. He's Jimmy Garoppolo. But we'll see what happens week 9. I got the Raiders winning over the Niners. Going on to week 10 now, we got the Chargers. Like I said, we lose the first game to Chargers in L.A. I think we make some adjustments. When they come up to Oakland, they choke the game away, and we get the W week 11 against the Cardinals. It's going to be interesting to see who's the quarterback at this point. I mean, that's so hard about predicting schedules because we got so many teams on this schedule where either the quarterbacks haven't played at all or they got rookie backups. Back-to-back weeks, week 11, week 12, Cardinals, Ravens. Are we going to get Josh Rosen and Lamar Jackson or Sam Bradford and Joe Flacco? Because if it's Bradford and Flacco, I'd give us both wins. If it's Rosen or Lamar Jackson, I don't know. Because like I said, if Russell Wilson's going to be scrambling all over the Raiders, if Lamar Jackson's in the game by week 12, he could do the same thing. But as of right now, against Sam Bradford and Joe Flacco, I've got the Raiders winning both those games. So give me W's in week 11 and week 12. Moving on to week 13, like I said, we've got the Chiefs again. They swept us last year. Until we can prove that we can beat the Chiefs and beat Andy Reid's offense, I'm not picking against them. So I got the Chiefs sweeping us as much as I hate to say it this year. Give us 2 L's to the Chiefs this year until we can prove maybe Mahomes is a turnover machine. Maybe we can get to him, but I don't got faith without Khalil Mack on his defense. We got a lot of young talent, but none proven talent. Khalil Mack was our defense. So when we play teams like the Chiefs, when we play teams like the Steelers, I don't see how we could stop that offense. It's just too high-powered of an offense. Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown on the outside. Without Mack disrupting plays, causing fumbles, getting 5 sacks, picking balls, taking them to the house, fumble recoveries, tackles for a loss, our defense isn't there. So I got us back-to-back losses against playoff teams in the Chiefs and the Steelers. Bounce back, get a W against the Bengals. Bounce back, W against the Broncos. Like I said, sweep. Week 17 is going to be huge. Playing against the Chiefs possibly for that AFC West title. But like I said, until we beat them, I picked us against them last year. I'm not going to fall in that same trap. The Chiefs right now are the best team in the AFC West. Until proven otherwise, the Raiders and the Chargers are in the mix. I think the Broncos bring up the rear. But what is that? 10 games. I still got the Raiders winning 10 games this year. Taking out the Broncos twice, Dolphins, Browns, Chargers once, Colts, Niners, Cardinals, Ravens, Bengals. I think it's possible. 10-6 could get us back into the playoffs. If we get one from the Chiefs, even better. But like I said, I'm in that 8-8, 10-6 range. I think we could have beat a couple more of these teams if we still had Khalil Mack. 10-6, I think it's still doable. I think the Raiders still got a chance at the playoffs. Fuck it. I said it last year. The Raiders were returned to greatness. I didn't see this happening, folks. I didn't see no Khalil Mack. We got to see what the hell John Gruden does with his offense. But I've got the Raiders 10-6. Unless the Chiefs do better, that might be our AFC West winner right there. I know the Chargers are the sleeper team, but we all know about the San Diego Super Super Chokers. And that's all I got to say, folks. Raiders taking a division, AFC West, Derek Carr, comeback player of the year. John Gruden, you better get coach of the year. Save your ass somehow. You ain't getting GM of the year. We know that. Khalil Mack, I'm sorry. I still love you. Living legend will go down in infamy. Thank you, Khalil Mack. Thank you, Raider Nation. Thank you to everybody who listens, downloads, subscribes to the Bay's Golden Days podcast, available on iTunes, Apple, Google Play, Spotify, Spotcast, C-Spot Go. I don't know, whatever the hell you use these days for podcasts. Thank you for listening, downloading, subscribing to get all the updates for when the new podcasts are coming out. Follow me on Twitter, at Marcus Boucher. Follow the show on Twitter, at Bay's Golden Days. BGDsports.com is the official website. Got a couple mock drafts up there. A couple blogs here every once in a while. You know, we got it all. We do it all here on the Bay's Golden Days. Working for the Niners, working for the Giants, covering the Raiders, covering the Bay, covering California, covering the whole entire NFL. Got to get my boy Alan Flores on. The return of the notorious Bay Area hater himself, Big Al. Going to talk some football. I'll probably break it up this year. You know, last year I did the half NFL review, half Raider review. I think I'm going to do a whole Raider review podcast and an NFL podcast separately. We'll see what happens. Stay tuned. Once again, thank you for taking your time out of your day to listen to this podcast. If you're listening to this whole thing, I know you're a member of the Raider Nation, holding it down. We'll see what happens this year. But one thing's for sure, I'll be back every single week this season giving you a Raiders recap right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. You know what it is, baby. It's golden.
Stay gold, pony boy.